We shall turn to the Word of God and the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Reading from the beginning. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Especially verse 4 this evening. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. In that day, just as the first verse speaks, in that day, it is the gospel day. It is the day when Christ comes into the world to save sinners, when he comes to seek and to save that which was lost, when he dies on the cross to purchase salvation, when he reveals his saving grace to a poor sinner, when he delivers the soul from the lowest hell. In that day, when a sinner is delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Just as the first verse opens, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. So in this verse we read, and in that day shall ye say. First it is the singular, now it is the plural. Verse 1, the church is spoken to as if it were one person, the church considered as a unit, as one, though made up of many members. The church is one. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, speaking to the Lord himself. But here we read in verse 4, in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. They're speaking to one another. The members of the church are encouraging one another to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the great things he hath done. Encourage one another to praise God for redemption. They are rejoicing together, and they are glad when they are saying to one another, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is in Jerusalem, it is in the church, it is in the place where God manifests his presence, that God's people will gather together to praise the Lord. And indeed, this, as we've said before, is a suitable portion to make use of in praise to God for any deliverance that we have experienced in the way of receiving mercies, God helping us through difficulties, and bringing us to a place where we have cause to thank him, to praise the Lord for what he has done for us. And with the Lord's help, we will consider this verse, noticing, first of all, praise to God, and secondly, prayer to God, and thirdly, proclamation of the works of God. We have three exercises found in this verse. Three marks of grace. If these exercises are done with sincerity, a desire to glorify God and give him thanks for what he has done for us personally and what he has done in redemption, in sending his Son into the world to save sinners. If we're desiring to praise God for that glorious event, for the day in which salvation was made known by the person and work of Christ. So we have first praise to God, secondly prayer to God, and thirdly, proclamation of the works of God. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. That's prayer. Declare his doings among the people. There is proclamation. Make mention that his name is exalted. We begin, first of all, with praise of God. Praising God. Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Praise to the Lord, of course, is a natural outflow of the heart of a person who has experienced God's salvation. The person is by grace drawing from the wells of salvation, verse 3, and so that person desires to give praise to God for salvation. The person, when assured of salvation, assured of conversion, will inevitably praise God. There will always be thankfulness in the heart of a child of God to the Lord for salvation. If we're being taught to give thanks for daily mercies received, we are certainly being taught by the Spirit, if we're the Lord's people, to admire God's grace, to give thanks to him for his salvation. And in that day shall ye say, in this gospel day, in the day when salvation is known and experienced, shall ye say, Praise the Lord. So they are exhorting one another. Now they desire to praise God as individuals, and in that day thou shalt say, verse 1, it's thou as singular, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. And they're exhorting one another to praise the Lord. And this word praise is what we have considered before, the word that is also translated confess or acknowledge. We're to acknowledge God, we're to confess him before men, we're to praise him, we're to acknowledge him as Savior, we are to acknowledge what he has done for us, we're to acknowledge and give thanks for what he has done, we're to praise him for redemption. Praising God, acknowledging him for what he has done. So we should ask ourselves in examination, do we love to praise the Lord? Is this an activity or exercise, rather, that we look forward to? Do we encourage one another, encourage our children, if we have children, to praise the Lord and give thanks for what he has done for us, for the food he has provided, for all the daily mercies we receive from him? Are we encouraging one another to give thanks to the Lord for these things? When we have experienced a marvelous deliverance in providence, when he has helped us through a difficulty, are we praising God in our souls, and do we desire that others would praise the Lord with us? And when we get a view of God's salvation, when we begin to appreciate with wonder the great work of redemption, Christ dying on the cross for sinners, when we get a view of that and we see the preciousness of Christ, is there a desire in our hearts to praise him? Well, there will be. There will be. If we get any view of God's salvation, we will be filled with admiration, and we will love to adore the Savior who died on the cross for sinners. Have we been drawn to Christ? Have we tasted the goodness of the Lord? Does this make us want to praise him? And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. And if we're desiring to praise God, we'll also desire to pray to God. And we will feel simply that we cannot live without prayer. So in the second place, prayer to God. We considered praise to God. Now let us consider prayer to God, found in these words, call upon his name. Call upon his name. Another exercise which naturally follows the experience of salvation. Just as Paul or Saul of Tarsus, when he was first converted, it was told Ananias, behold, he prayeth. This marked him out as a child of God. He's no longer Saul the persecutor. He's Saul the one who prays. And this, of course, is not just mouthing words, but it is desires from the heart for things that are agreeable to the will of God, calling upon his name for what we need and what we feel we need and what we truly desire within our souls. Now, you see that this is showing thankfulness to God. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name. Now, when we receive mercies from God, if we're being taught by the Spirit, think that receiving from God is over and finished. No, we still stand in need of God's mercies, and we still desire mercies from God. And so grace teaches us to go to God for all our needs. Now, if this was a mere friend who provided something good for us, we might be hesitant to ask for anything else. If we ask for more, we might be showing our friend, well, we're not really thankful for what he has already given us. But to ask for more from God is the very way to show our thankfulness to God. He has given us this much, we desire more from God. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we're desiring more money and more cars and more houses, but we desire more grace. And yes, we unburden our souls for all the daily needs that we have, that we feel that we need, and the Lord knows all that we need. But obviously, we're speaking most of all about spiritual blessings. God has given us salvation. Well, we desire sanctification. God has given us the privilege of being in his family. We desire God's fatherly protection. We desire all the blessings of salvation. God has given us a little bit of assurance that we're one of his children. We desire more assurance. He has shown us a little bit of his glory. We desire to see more of his glory. He has given us a little teaching. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. Call upon his name. Don't stop with the little that you have received. Desire more. You have the example of Moses in Exodus 33. God has given him a little bit of his presence and assurance of his presence. And now Moses says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He's stirred up. He's encouraged to ask for more and more and more from God. Well, let this kindle with the Lord's blessing a desire in our souls for more of his help and more of his grace. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Well, this is, again, we believe the people are exhorting one another, encouraging one another to call upon the name of the Lord. And this surely ought to encourage us to unite in prayer, to appreciate the blessing and the provision of a prayer meeting. And we are to adhere to the words of Christ when he tells us that if two of you shall agree on earth, and we cannot really agree on what to pray for if we're not joining together in prayer. The Lord is exhorting us and encouraging us to come together in prayer, and we should be exhorting one another to join together in prayer. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we're to call upon his name. And as you know, the name of God is God himself as he reveals himself. All that whereby God makes himself known is his name. So, as someone else has put it, his name is himself, as revealed in his word. Again, we must not have our own ideas about God or who he is. We learn from his word. We know who God is and what God is from his self-revelation, his own word. And so the name of God is God as he has revealed himself. And so in calling upon his name, we are acknowledging God to be what he is. We are acknowledging God to be the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God, that he is these incommunicable attributes in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Calling upon his name is acknowledging the truth of God. It's acknowledging God, who he is, as he reveals himself in his word. And it is this phrase, calling upon the name of the Lord, is really summing up the entirety of true worship. As we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is, I believe, bringing before us the fact that they were worshiping God. They were drawing near in public worship, calling upon the name of the Lord. So gather together in worship, pray together, praise God together, worship God, drawing near to God, of course, in his appointed way, and that is to call upon his name, praying in the name of Christ, relying upon God as he reveals himself, worshiping God through the mediator. And I'll just quote this larger catechism question, which I find very helpful. What is it to pray in the name of Christ? To pray in the name of Christ is, in obedience to his command and in confidence on his promises, to ask mercy for his sake, not by bare mentioning of his name, but by drawing our encouragement to pray and our boldness, strength, and hope of acceptance in prayer from Christ and his mediation. Question 180. And remember that there is none other name to call upon. It's not Allah or Buddha or any angel. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ alone is the door of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And all those who do come to him, and those who do call upon his name, those who trust in the name of the Lord, they are welcome, they are saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge the truth about yourself. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Acknowledge the truth about God. He is holy. He is just. Acknowledge the truth and say in your soul, say to God, I deserve to be condemned. I deserve that God would cast me into hell. God would be just in doing so because he is holy and righteous and just. But acknowledge this as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's justice and God's mercy are reconciled. They are met together in the person and work of Christ. Lay hold of God's mercy in Christ. Look to Jesus' blood, and God's justice is satisfied with respect to you. God will be gracious and forgive your sin and still be just in doing so, because God is a just God and a Savior, and this is what we acknowledge. Call upon his name. We're not coming to God only thinking of his mercy, but we're thinking about the blood that cleanseth from all sin. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified who reveals the justice of God and the mercy of God, both met together in Christ, and so that God will be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Go to Christ. He reveals God. Go to Christ. He will reconcile you to God. And finally, if you truly believe in him, you will desire to proclaim the great things that God has done. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Declare his doings. Declare, literally, make known. Make known. We know, yes, but we need to make it known. Those who are God's people, they know the truth, but they need to make known the truth. They should cause others to know it. It's not enough just for us to know. We need to make others know. We need to communicate the truth and communicate God's doings, declare his doings among the people. God's doings, that is, his deeds, his actions, his wonderful deeds, his wonderful works. Make known to others what God has done, especially, of course, the great work of redemption. This is a gospel day. Friends, we live in the New Testament era. Christ has already come. God has shown us who the Savior is. He has shown us who the seed of the woman is. It's Jesus of Nazareth. He has bruised the serpent's head. He died on the cross. He destroyed him that had the power of death. And we're to show this forth. We're to declare his doings. How? Well, it's several ways. One is the preaching of the word. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. Ministers are going forth declaring the great work of redemption. They're preaching the gospel. As we read there in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, Jesus said that that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Declare his doings among the peoples, plural. And so, as Christ commissioned his servants, so ministers will exhort one another, go and preach. They will declare, they will exhort one another to declare the doings of the Lord. And they will exhort future ministers to do so as well. As Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Young men, qualified, suitable young men need to be set apart to preach the gospel, to declare the doings of God to others. But it's not only the preacher. Every believer is to proclaim God's works. Look at the end of verse 4. Make mention that his name is exalted. Literally, cause to remember. Cause to remember. You remember it. You think about it. You recall it. You reflect. But cause others to remember. Well, maybe they've heard it before. Well, they need to remember it. Make mention. Cause to remember that his name is exalted. So we're to cause others to remember what God has done. And this is again to others. Make mention to others that his name is exalted. And how do believers do this? Well, it is by profession and by practice. By their profession and by their practice, they proclaim the name of the Lord. And this takes place in the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The word show is literally proclaim. Ye do proclaim the Lord's death. You are making mention of his name. You are causing to remember others to remember his name. You are remembering the death of the Lord, but in coming to the Lord's table, you are causing others to remember as well. You're proclaiming his name. You're proclaiming the death of Christ. And remember that it's the death of Christ that reveals most clearly the attributes of God. So when we speak about Christ, we are speaking about God and his glory. Make mention that his name is exalted. The name of God is himself in Revelation. When we declare Christ, we're declaring God who is glorified by Jesus Christ. But also, we proclaim his name by our practice, by our life, walk, and conversation. People see your faith by your works. Some will say, show me your faith without your works. Impossible. And I will show you my faith by my works. That is possible. You can talk all you like, but if your feet don't match your lips, then there's a great contradiction. So we proclaim God also by our good deeds, our good attitudes, by grace. And so this is an encouragement to seek grace, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, that we would proclaim God's name by lip and life, by our feet as well as by our mouth. Declare his doings. Remember, Abel was speaking, and yet he didn't utter a word in Genesis chapter 4. But not only was his blood crying from the ground, his sacrifice, his faith, his life, it was all declaring that he was a sincere follower of God and his ways. And so we may not be able to speak well, but do our feet walk well? Are we endeavoring to walk uprightly to please our Savior and point others by our works to the Father in heaven to glorify him, to make mention that his name is exalted? So we're exalting his name. We're saying that God's name is very high, literally. His name is high and lifted up. And we're to remember he's the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. So let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, exalting Christ and taking a low place before him. He must increase, I must decrease. Remember, God says in Isaiah 52, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." And that's the great reward that the Father has given to his Son. When he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, "God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And notice how he says, "to the glory of God the Father." If we exalt Christ, we exalt God. If we declare what Christ has done, we show the glory of God. Well, let this encourage the Lord's people to praise, to pray, and to proclaim. "And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord." Let this be our endeavor, that we would be more and more concerned to demonstrate that we are the Lord's people, because he says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." Living our lives for him, speaking for him, doing for him, praying together, calling upon his name together, praising the Lord. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3, verse 17. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray.